All right. Thank you so much, BBS, for making this possible for us today. It is Wednesday, December the 16th, 2020. A one-hour show with Winfrey and Terry Brown located in Sedona, Arizona. If you have questions, we have answers. You can submit your personal question per email to win by using the email address of questions@intelligent-infinity.com. questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And we had two more people calling in on the conference line. Welcome. Please say names and locations.
Roger in Austin.
Good evening. Hi, Roger. Roger. Welcome.
Hi, this is Bonnie. Oh, go ahead.
Well, welcome, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. I sent my question in. Hi, guys.
Good.
Also, Don in Ohio.
Good evening, Don. Welcome.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
All right.
Wynn, this is Monica. I think I sent it to the wrong place. I had a question, and I sent it to your personal email, Wynn.
Okay, let me see if I can. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can find it, okay?
How long ago did you send it in?
Oh, just about an hour or two ago. Because last night he was telling somebody on the phone to email it to him, the question, and so I just figured that's what I was supposed to do.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Feel free to say name or location.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Helen.
Thank you.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Hi, all.
How nice to be recognized.
The talent getting through.
And someone else joined in. Welcome. Please say name or location.
Yeah, it's Lauren.
Welcome,
hey,
Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
Lauren.
Hey, hi, Lauren.
Monica, if you sent it an hour or two ago, that means I think most likely it's lost forever.
Really?
Try resending it. Resend it now.
Right. Just go to
you
it.
Still might, you still might.
Right.
Yeah, you want to hold us up.
Just a second. I think I'll find it. I think I'll find it. Okay? Just be cool.
Did anyone get an email? Jot down?
I'm cool.
Say it again.
Did anybody get a notice from their email provider that Gmail is shut down? All mail you send to anybody with a Gmail address.
No, not heard of it.
Goes nowhere. And it said online, it says that it shut down for now.
What time was that?
I got it this afternoon.
I just sent an email, a Gmail to Wynn. I don't know if I got it or not.
Yesterday it was shut down. I couldn't communicate with my children.
Mm-hmm. Mine worked. Wynn got my Gmail I sent a few minutes ago.
Yeah, it was shut down.
Well, the White Hats were going to do that so that they can gather up a few people.
Good.
So they can't communicate with each other.
Oh.
Gmail is owned by Google, so I figured it had something to do with a court case and the investigation.
Interesting.
Yeah, Google's being investigated for all their little underhand and crooked things they're doing.
Election tampering.
And to those folks that are here listening in online through BBS Radio, good evening to you and welcome to this question and answer show. And if in case you're not aware of it, we do daily our whole planet healing conference call every day, 7 days a week at 7 p.m. Pacific. And if you want to participate, you can do so by calling in. By using the phone number of 712-770-4340. And the access code is 250513#. And you can find this information also at the website wholeplanethealing.com. Whole is W-H-O-L-E.
Hey, Lauren.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked into red light therapy for vision, eyesight?
Red light therapy?
Yeah. He's basically just shine a red LED into your eyes, I think, and supposedly it's supposed to improve your eyesight. I just wondered if you'd ever checked it out.
Oh, there we go. You said red light therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have, yeah. But it, not just red light, it, spectrochrome.
Near infrared is good.
I did some red light therapy in Amsterdam.
Hmm. Did it help?
Is that a joke?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do it.
I think that's a joke.
Yeah, it is.
That was a red light district.
A dirty joke.
I've been there.
Have you, Teddy?
Yeah, Amsterdam.
Oh, you have
a red
light district. Yeah.
It's Andre on the line. Andre?
And Terry, you're not talking about in the time from Van Gogh, right? You're talking about in this lifetime.
In this lifetime, yes.
Right.
I went there with the person that became my husband, and we were trying to get married everywhere there, but they said that there was a waiting time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Red Light District is a very popular tourist destination, actually.
Yeah.
Or used to be. I don't know what's going on now.
You know, it's totally been cut down on also. It's kind of strange because those things that were all legal back in Holland are being slimmed down over there and becoming legal here in the States, like, you know, smoking pot and
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting place that I have never forgotten.
Oh, yeah.
Been there?
Yeah. Yeah, I walked down the streets and looked in the, excuse me, shop windows. Heinz knows what I'm talking about.
Live
mannequins.
When did you find my email? This is Monica. Did you find the email?
Not yet. What email address did you send it to?
Oh, I don't know. It was the one that I had and that was stuck in my computer.
Just go to that email, Monica, and resend it to questions and answers.
Monica, is it a long one?
No, I can ask it real quick. You want me to tell you what it is?
Tell me what it is.
Okay. I was wondering where the Crystal Kingdom is. Ever since I was a little girl, I had memories of this beautiful vision of a crystal kingdom, and I used to tell stories to everybody in the neighborhood. And then later on in life, a Vietnamese very spiritual man, monk, said that I came from this crystal planet. And then my young son, when he was only 2.5, his first words were, "Mama, don't you remember the crystal planet or the diamond place?" And I was wondering where that
question
where that is.
What's the question?
Where is it?
The question
where
is,
are the
where
crystals?
Where is that realm?
No, where is which planet is it on? Where in the solar system or where in the universe is it located? How many light years away, maybe, I guess? How far away am I?
It's just come up a lot. So anyway, that was...
Now, Monica, did your son say, don't you... What did your son say? when he was two.
My son said, Mama, don't you remember the crystal planet? You were there and Mama and Daddy was there. And then he said, there's worlds upon worlds upon worlds, I remember him saying. And we came from a planet that had looked like crystals and diamonds.
Wow.
That's interesting.
And then I had a Vietnamese man. I told you he was a monk, and he told me the same thing. And I used to tell these stories to the neighborhood kids, and it was like I should have wrote them down. And they would keep going on and on and on for weeks on end. And I would talk about this place, and I can't even remember, but I just thought I was dreaming up these fantasies. But everybody loved to listen to them, so. I was just curious if she could tell me where that was and if that's where I came from. Has anybody here ever heard of that place? I don't know.
In the Superman movie, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't crystals like that. It wasn't crystals like that.
No, the question is, did I have an experience in that realm? Okay?
Okay, that's fine.
And where is it?
I don't know.
No, I thought that was
the
question.
She wants to know how many light years away from Earth is it, maybe?
I don't know. I just
wondered
I wondered.
Well,
like,
it's very likely something that exists in a higher dimension, okay, rather than physical distance, okay? That's what I would guess, but let's ask them. We'll see. All right.
Yeah, I'm just curious because I dream up things because I'm very creative. But when I had my son and then these other people, and there was probably somebody else along the line that said something about that too. So I just thought, okay.
All right. Now let me ask Andre, are you on the line? Because he contacted me before the call. I wanted to ask a question.
He might be on BBS.
I don't see his question here.
Mm.
And he did he had get on the line because I don't see your question. Okay? So now, Hives, last week you asked about your brother Jan. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
And I asked that question, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I got more information after the call on that.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
We can bring it up.
More
again? All right.
Info on Jan for Harris.
Thank you, Terry.
Okay. And let's get started, okay?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Muted.
December 16th.
The recording has started.
This is December 16th, 2020. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And tonight is the night that we're going to ask our sources questions that you guys have submitted, okay? And just before the call, the more our group grows, the more I can say, okay? Because many of us are having some kind of experience of this connection, and that I can talk to that experience. And I can tell you, even the more we do this, the more they can say about it. Because it doesn't serve to tell people about an experience they're not having, because sometimes it creates the wrong direction, right? And then people feel like they're unworthy. I'm not having this experience. And why is everyone else having it? Maybe they don't like me, okay? Maybe there's something wrong with me. And those are the wrong approaches. It's my observation that the people that have an experience are people who, first of all, come to the calls often. Second of all, have read a bunch of the materials where they talk about themselves. Because we all understand the experience of having a friend or even a member of our family and how it feels to be with them and exchange energy. And the really best relationships are the ones where you exchange energy without having to engage, where you have a psychic attunement to another person. Now, oftentimes, people do that, and they don't even identify it as such, but they're having it. They feel comforted around the person. And, you know, Terry and I have developed this where, and it wasn't always this way by far, but when we sit down together in the same room near each other, automatically an energy starts to flow that we both can feel, and I know she's feeling it, and she knows I'm feeling it. It kind of projects out from both of us, and it's kind of like we're in the same energy bubble of sorts. Now, since I'm talking about Terry, I should let her give her experience. You want to share it, Terry?
Do
you relate to that, or am I whistling Dixie?
We have a tendency to get in the same resonance with each other, and the energy is very good then.
Yeah, and it's not based on anything we have to say to each other. It's just kind of...
No, not at all. You might not even see anything.
Happening. It just starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'll be sitting together, we'll feel that energy, and then we feel the energy of the Elohim on top of it really strongly. And, you know, I've come to the conclusion they pay close attention to us because we have made such a commitment to get this out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, instead of engaging with somebody, I just had a conversation with someone tonight. I couldn't get this across. I tried to, and then they got mad at me, or angry with me, or impatient. But it's a very important principle many of you experience when you come into this call, just by showing up, even before the call, as you start to anticipate it, you feel a shift in your energy. And it's kind of, you know, the first time you feel that, you might think, I wonder if this is what Lynn was talking about. Because it doesn't hit you over the head. It's subtle enough that if you don't pay attention to it, you could miss it. And it's just there, but you're not identifying it. But I would say that as you start to approach the call and as you started to create a resonance with the higher realms, it starts to kick in. And it's something that if you haven't had that experience, then, like, just be open to the possibility. You can't push it. You kind of have to be in a neutral space. You can't be saying, okay, I'm ready, come on, hit me with your best shot, or something like that. It's, you're kind of relaxed. And I know while they like it when I talk about this, I know they do, because it helps open people up to the experience, okay? And once you have that experience, once you realize there's intelligence in higher realms that can connect with you, just like a friend in the lower realms, you can have a feeling of self-love, and it makes you much more independent or less needy of needing someone else to love in your life. And I understand that experience very well, where you're looking around, you need to want to be loved. And then how do you get to be loved? And usually it's not so easy, because people have this self-rejection pattern. And so you put that out, and someone else has got to get through that pattern in order for that loving feeling to come in. Or, you know, well, I'm just saying, the idea is that the energy of the other side, and even on this side, can come in more strongly in silence than in engagement, okay? And now the thing is, sometimes that energy is not present, and then you try to get it, a feeling of lovingness through engagement, and a lot of times it doesn't work. I'm not saying you can't make it work, but as a milestone in knowing if you're doing it, that when you have that kind of connection with someone and you're sitting alone and you send them the light comes back to you, and you feel it when it comes back, and they're not in your presence, and you actually connected with them energetically. And I remember years ago, there were certain people, and even now, but years ago, this really blew me away, that I'd have that experience with somebody. I feel the energy come in, and I feel a sense of love, and they would call me in that exact moment, okay? And you know what, Monica, I got your question. And now I got it two ways, okay? I don't know why I didn't get it before, but I got it. Hang on a second. Let me... Let me copy your question exactly the way you wrote it, okay? And Come on. There we go. I got it up. Hello to everybody on BBS. If there's some of you in other countries on BBS, you know, if you email me a question and you're listening, I can still answer it, even though you're on BBS. And you would send the question to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And don't think anything is too stupid to ask, or silly or something. You know, what they have said is when someone asks a question and they give an answer, they have to move into your energy field to look at your conflicts, your patterns, to answer the question, okay? And when they do that, this is something they said, and it kind of amazed me. It was years ago. They said, when we retreat from your energy field, we leave a track. And if you choose to follow that track, you start to increase your affinity with them, your energetic connection. So we're going to start. And Terry isn't ready, but let's see if she's at least unmuted. Are you unmuted, Terry? Calling Terry.
Hello?
Hi there.
All right. We greet you in the lovely.
Well, I didn't call in the light yet. Should I call it in?
All right.
Father, Mother, okay. God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Give us a moment. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you, and we come directly to you. We don't come through the telephone line, and we don't come through the computer. That is where the voice comes from. And we connect just about instantaneously with each and every one of you. and the voice takes a little longer to get there. Do you have questions? And if we ever give you any answer that doesn't make sense or you don't, doesn't seem real or doesn't jibe, then disregard it. It is not meant for you at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is from John Siboronsky, okay? And he asks in reference to the souls that died on Maldek. And those of you who are not familiar, the raw material, and our sources have verified this as well, Maldek is a planet in our solar system that ended up destroying itself one way or another. And it was some kind of nuclear destruction. And the whole planet exploded.
It did not destroy itself. It was destroyed by the planetary influences that were attempting to run a war between factors involved.
Okay. Well, according to the information, there are billions of souls on Maldek. And when this incident happened, the souls, according to the raw material, the words they used, became a tangled mass of fear and lost their experience of self-awareness and were not able to individuate themselves. Although the pattern of their individuation was still there, it was not manifesting. And the Ra group took it upon themselves to help get these souls, the billions of them, back on a track where they could continue their evolution. And as I understand it, many of those souls ended up on Earth. And John's question is, let's see here. Let me read it exactly. Are all the souls who died on the Maldek already been moved to Earth, or is it still an ongoing process? Mm-hmm. Could you please explain? Go ahead. There's a few questions, so answer that one.
It's still an ongoing process. Dear. Groups of and clusters of beings that are still tied up in knots and
mm-hmm.
unable to individuate out. What happens in this type of an explosion, which the planet experienced that cracked it up and broke it apart, is that the individuals lose their soul structure. And so they suddenly, in a sudden explosion, are unable to operate in the manner that they had been operating and to navigate to experience, they lost their soul
structure that allowed them to move, to think, and everything just began to be in a way that they could, they had no trust in their own soul structure because it was melted in the explosion, and they could not distinguish between their own soul and other souls, and they became totally knotted up and unable to operate. There are still groups of them. They are moving, stuck together in a knot of fear, and they have not yet figured out how to work their way through it.
Mm-hmm.
There have been various groups that have been trying to help them to reestablish their own soul structure and to begin to operate again. It is, some of them have achieved that, and others are still knotted in fear.
Now, did some of them achieve it on their own volition, or did they need outside help, all of them?
Well, we see that some of them did achieve it on their own volition. It is very hard to help one establish, reestablish their own soul structure because it takes a lot of inner work to be able to do that. So it is very hard to provide help in a manner that helps them reestablish their own grounded in their own operation.
Mm-hmm. And John then asks, could you explain the process of how you revive someone whose soul is fragmented from an explosion like Maldek? Like, what did Rod do, the Rod group, to assist that process?
To give them unconditional love, put unconditional love into their surroundings around them when they are so stuck together, to simply observe and send them unconditional love. And be there for them as they attempt to reestablish connection with something. They cannot reestablish connection with their inner self because it has been melted, and the structure has been lost. And they need to begin to connect with something, but it is them that needs to carry out the connection. I mean, one can mm-hmm. connect with them, but if they aren't available to connect, then it won't work.
Okay. You know, John has two more questions. John, I don't think we'll get through all our questions today. So feel free to ask those two questions on Maldek next week, because it's really a good question, okay? Thank you. Julia. Now, Julia, did she give me her city? Yes, she did. She's in Okemos, Michigan. And her question is, what are some of the things I can do to forgive and let go of past hurts and injustices. And then she has a second question. You know, I just wanted to make a comment from my own experience that I'm sure they'll make their own comment and clarify it. From my own experience, things in the past of a lower level exist in the lower matrix. And if you do things that force a higher matrix to come in, then the past starts losing its hold on you because you're in a matrix outside of those hurts and injustices. You start to recreate yourself. And I know that I've experienced that for myself all the time, that when I do higher matrix things, like doing these calls or writing something or doing something or calling someone or cheering somebody up, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a grand thing. The energy that comes in, it starts to move me out of old patterns. Then she asks the question, how do you guys interpret the phrase from the Bible, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? Juliet, I don't think it comes from the Ra and Elohim group, but I'm going to turn it over to them to address your questions.
Thank you. Now, in your second question, it did not come from us. One can feel a self-satisfying pleasure in vengeance, like I told you so. You deserve it, or it serves you right. Or, however, this is a lower emotion, and it was written by beings that were experiencing lower emotions. Give us a moment. There can be various things that one is sorry for and can forgive themselves for. If someone has made a mistake, an honest mistake, then it is easier to forgive themselves than if they have a lifetime or multi-lifetime pattern of doing something that is non-optimum or is vengeful or something that they can forgive themselves for. Give us a moment. If somebody has a pattern, oftentimes beyond that is something that they aren't seeing about themselves, some reason that they feel that they need to be a certain way or do a certain thing. and they have are not seeing that this is something that is messing them up. And then further down the line, they dramatize this pattern. So if you are needing to forgive yourself about something, then take a look. Maybe go somewhere and sit and meditate, have a cup of coffee and meditate. It's like, what happened just before that? What happened in your life? Who said what? Or what was it? How were you feeling just before that you did this thing that you really didn't like? What happened just before? Because, and what happened just before is where the keys are to how you ended up reacting the way you did. If you could see the pattern previous to the thing that you did that you didn't like, then you can begin to shed some light on your own patterns. If you're too late and looking at something and it has already happened, then sometimes you miss the key things that triggered it. And if you're missing that, then you tend to, you're forgiving something or looking at something that isn't the trigger, the reason why you began to react in a certain way. And then oftentimes there is something about that that you don't know. And once you begin to evaluate, to look at it, to see it for what it is, then the impulse to do that over and over can dissipate. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Monica. And she is, where is the crystal world or the crystal kingdom? When I was a child, I had memories of this world. I used to tell stories about it to children. A very spiritual man from Vietnam said, I came from this crystal diamond world. My son, when he first talked to three, said, Mom, do you remember the crystal world? There are many worlds in our home was the crystal world. Our whole family came from there. I would like to ask this question. Thank you.
Thank you. It is not in the physical realm. It is higher than the physical realm. And it is structured with thought, esoteric, different structure and a different density than the third density in the physical realm. It thinks time is very much faster there, and individuals are very much more in harmony than they tend to be in the physical world. So it is structured in a different time zone, a different density, and a higher frequency tendency. It is a beautiful world, and people get along really well
and seem to get along really well in this world. And sometimes individuals from the crystal world make their way into the physical world and have memory of this place. It can be gotten back to you if someone is in the physical world. They can take a trip of fantasy back into the crystal world and can see the gleaming structures, crystalline light shining like jewels in this realm. It is a beautiful realm to look at and to be in.
Mm-hmm. And I asked the question, you know, the raw material refers to 8 densities from 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. And some others divided into 13 densities. But if we were going to refer the crystal kingdom into a density,
it would be between the 6th and the 7th.
Into
the 7th.
Mm-hmm. And this is my question on the side. I know it's the higher realms, and we've talked about this, that there's almost an instant manifestation. When you think of something, it comes in. And in the crystal kingdom, is that kind of manifestation existing?
Yes.
It isn't
as fast and as instantaneous as in the highest. For instance, in the realm where we are.
Mm-hmm.
However, the connection is very fast.
Mm-hmm. I mention that because Monica, I think it's okay to say this, if you don't feel clear about answering that, you don't have to, but Monica has experienced during this lifetime some really big manifestations, and it comes very easy to her. And I have the feeling it's because she still has some of the experience of the crystal realm.
It does orient a person and affect a person's life when they move into the physical realm. They maintain aspects of their orientation with the crystal realm, and it makes it easier to interact and communicate relate with others in this realm.
And I would assume that this crystal realm is different than the heaven realms.
Yes, it is its own realm.
I just wanted to confirm that.
Yes.
All right. First of all, I want to say goodbye to the people of BDS. I'm going to try to fit in a couple more questions on the phone line here. Thank you for being with you. And we'll see what we can do in 5 minutes. And I may not get to everything, but Don Herman says, is there anything we can do to make what we call miracles easier to access? Do any of our chakras play a role in the miracle process? And if so, how?
The chakras are a tool, an operational tool that you can use for moving in and out of situations, opening to scenes, and shutting out scenes, for instance, when it's sleeping. One can shut them down. The chakras are your friend, and you operate in sync. You use your chakras in your operation of your perceptions, in your surroundings, in your operation of the body, in communication, in opening to love, and opening to aspects of home and your relationships with family and sexual relationships. Your chakra is in motion and helping you to coordinate with such things.
Thank you. And Bonnie Penners, I think I'm going to ask your question next week to send it in again. I want to ask one more question here. Who else am I missing? Dave Ferringer, ask your question next week. Okay? And Hi is asking about Jan again next week. And let me ask a question from Mark from Ireland. There are more and more groups in the world now, large and small, working on making this current situation into an awakening for the good of humanity. We have a group who is doing what we can to bring in the light. We have no dogma of any kind, just asking and drumming and meditating. I assume that's a group in Ireland. One reason for my question is just to raise our hand to let the sources know we are calling out and asking for the light to shine on Ireland and make it flood the earth. And I would like to know if there's any focus we could have that would fit our particular group with our particular skills.
Thank you. Be open to the truth. And be open to the relationships between countries and the causation of groups that are self-serving in different countries. It may affect other countries, which other countries, they then affect other countries and have a influencing effect. Be open to the real truth of what is happening. And if someone is aware of something that they know personally of that can be shared to figure out the best way to share it, with who to share it with, to help awakening, be sure to pick the right channel for sharing so that you are as protected as you can be. That is for people who share what they know. And maintain your own self-integrity and your own center. Those are some ideas.
Thank you. You know, Mark, you might ask more questions. If I had time, I would suggest them. But if I was asking that question, is I would ask, are there any blocks in the group that I could be aware of that I might be able to work through if I understood the blocks? Okay?
We don't totally understand your question.
Well, don't just forget it. You know, think it through, because I appreciate that you're reaching to be as effective as possible. Okay, and you're doing it, and you have a very high intent, and so. If you ask more questions, you might be able to nail it down better, okay? And even an answer to a question that you could share with the other people in the group to make it go higher, perhaps, okay? That's just my take. I might be wrong. But nevertheless, give it a shot. It's 8:06. And Bonnie and Dave, ask your question next week. Thanks to all of you that asked your questions tonight. And we're going to go to Whole Planet Healing. The phone number is 712-770-4340. And the PIN is 250-513, and we'll see you over there in a moment.
Unmuted.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you.
Thank you, our sources. Thank you all.